Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, when exactly will the second coming of Christ take place? Well, my friend, I'll tell you, nobody knows, including people who say they know and sell books telling you what they know. For myself, I'll just say it, I don't know, but I'm in good company because when Jesus was here, he said even he didn't know. But I do know this. I can tell you exactly when Jim Barrier will offer a visitation to this radio program, for example, today. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And just for the record, I don't know either. But hi, Bob. It's good to be on the show.
It's always good to have you, Jim.
Yeah. Hey, I want to get a couple of things off my chest before we get into our serious stuff.
Well, you getting things off your chest was certainly what I had in mind when I envisioned this radio show years ago, Jim. So you just go right ahead.
Well, some time back, I think I shared with you the revelation that my wife had that the church has its own version of entitlement, Christian entitlement, which is the prosperity gospel. And so I've referred to that as a Christian entitlement. And I know you feel like I do on the subject that the church is supposed to be influencing culture, but unfortunately, it seems like the culture influences the church. And so we get a lot of those kind of things. So that's what this thread is. We have Christian entitlement, which is the prosperity gospel. And here's a couple of new things that I've come to understand. There is Christian cancel culture. Did you know that, Bob?
Well, about a month ago, we did a show about Josh McDowell, and he was canceled culture by secular people, but it didn't sound like a lot of people in the church had his back, with notable exceptions like his good friend Everett Piper.
Yeah, and we talked about that, and I was disappointed a bit in how he handled that, but I think he was right in the things he said initially. But then he had to backtrack, like so many of them do. But
yeah, people make these great points, and then they start backpedaling all of them.
Yeah. Maybe he should run for office. Maybe not. Maybe not. Forget that I said that. Strike that for the record. The church also has its own version of cancel culture, which is don't talk about sin or hell or judgment. Don't talk about those things. We'd like to pretend they're not really even in the Bible. Which, of course, you'd have to eliminate a lot of the things that Jesus said.
Well, the thing is, if those things are, if there is no sin and there is no hell to be delivered from, what exactly is the gospel? The whole message of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins to spare us that. And yet they want to cherry pick. They like the verses that talk about God being loving, but any talk about God also being a judgmental God or a God that will hold people accountable, then they don't want to see it.
I had a friend one time that preached. It was actually at a big rally. It was a youth rally. And he got up there and he had a book that they thought was a Bible. And he said, you know, there's some things in the Bible that we don't like. And he tears a page out of this Bible. At least people thought it was a Bible. And we don't like this. So he tears the page out and throws it on the floor. And then we don't like this particular part of the Bible. He started tearing pages out of the Bible. And, of course, the crowd was gasping, you know, how dare you do that? And then he eventually revealed that it was not a Bible. But he was making a good point. We want to eliminate the things that we're uncomfortable with.
But people do it in a more subtle way today. They don't tear the pages out of the Bible, but they find a verse in the Bible and they go, well, I think we make our own heaven and hell here on earth. They try to reinterpret the verse. They might as well be tearing the page out of the Bible.
It's kind of our version of higher criticism, though I consider it lower criticism.
Yeah.
And you, I know you understand those terms.
And low from the unthinking parts of the brain.
Some German theologians over 100 years ago decided they would, if there were parts of the Bible they didn't like, they would just say, well, that's not relevant, or it's not interpreted right or translated or whatever. But it's just an end around to avoid the truth, which brings me to the third and final part of this. We have Christian snowflakes. That's a relatively new term used to describe a counterculture, subculture, a part of our society. But there is a church version of snowflakes. And these are people who are offended by preachers who tell the truth.
Yeah, no kidding.
So
basically, that's your Facebook fact checker. If you actually tell the truth,
oh
fact
my gosh.
Check you. I saw something funny on Facebook, Jim. A pastor friend of mine got up on Facebook. He was doing some self-deprecating humor. He got up on Facebook and he said, "I promise that my message today, my sermon, will not go over time." And then there was a big sign saying, "This statement was checked by Facebook fact checkers and found to be in error." I appreciated that.
Terrific.
He was being, and he's somebody that I've listened to, and oh, he does go over time. But anyway, I appreciated the self-deprecating humor.
That's a good offer. Well, of course, you know, I'm not pastoring currently. I retired from at least my position at the local church I pastored for 18 years. But what I said when I did that is you don't retire from a calling and you don't retire from who you are. So I still consider myself a pastor. I just don't have a salary or a name on a door anywhere right now.
Well, and as you like to put it, pastors who tell the truth retire by getting stoned to death. They don't retire by
exactly,
taking a trip
to
Tahiti.
Yeah. So, I would suffer martyrdom if that were what I was called to. And if that happened, I would join those glorious people who gave their lives for the gospel. But it's not my preference. I just assume not be martyred. I know you know this probably, but the word in the book of Acts, and Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses."
The same word.
It's the word martyr.
Martyr and witness is the same word in the New Testament. Absolutely.
So we're going to give an altar call tonight. How many of you would like to be martyrs for Jesus?
Yes,
no, they're not storming the aisles. At least not they're storming out the door.
I'd rather take one from column B for 12, Johnny.
Oh, my goodness. I'll just start running off here like I always do. You know, our friend Wiki Pratney, he was preaching a big rally one time, and it was youth, and it was an evangelistic crusade. And he said, "Now, how many of you want to give your lives to Jesus?" And all these hands went up. He said, "No, you don't understand. How many of you are willing to give up everything to follow Jesus?" And more hands went up. And he kept making it harder and harder and harder. And finally, he couldn't talk him out of it, so he let him come out of the altar and get saved. So I don't know.
Oh, I thought he was going to start talking to them specifically about what it really means to follow Jesus, and then less hands were going to go up.
But... Well, and Winky does that better than anybody I know.
Oh, I remember. I heard him preach when I was in college. He was one of the best speakers I ever heard, but he scared the snot out of me because if that guy doesn't make you look into your life and go, "Wow, have I really given my life to Christ?" Nobody will.
Well, he's definitely one of my favorites, and I was pleased he wrote a little blurb for my upcoming book, and so that was quite an honor to have him say a word in there. So
absolutely.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.